Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. Me and Dennis are sitting here at the pub. Hey, Den, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I figured I'd shake the opening up a little bit, buddy.
Okay, yeah, keep me on my toes.
Absolutely. So how you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Midweek, talking a little Disney, all is good.
Yeah, I need a little Disney talk after the day I had, trust me.
Yeah, escapism. That's what many of us that are Disney fans love about it. It's a way to get away from the humdrumness or the hecticness of our day-to-day lives.
No, absolutely. I had a painter today that I don't even want to talk about.
Oh, one of them
driving
guys.
Me nuts. Oh, yeah, driving me nuts. He's happy when he's mad, you know what I'm saying?
An angry man.
No, and he's used to dealing with my other boss, who's happy, happy guy all the time, who don't let nothing bother him. And then he gets me, who it don't take much to bother me. So, but then I had another good thing that happened to me. I'm running down the hallway to do. We have these lounges that we're finishing up. And remember, I don't know if I told you the story. I got locked into one lounge because the door is so heavy. Was the glasses in there?
No.
Well, I got locked in one of them about a month ago. I got locked in this lounge because the door's so heavy. I got it open, but the handle wasn't on it yet.
Okay.
So when you went to stick your finger in, all it is real sharp metal that where the door handle goes through.
Yep.
So I literally had to cut my fingers open to pull the lever back to get this door open because the door weighs about 100 pounds. Sad. Well, this lounge, one of the other lounges got me again. There are about 30 of them in the building.
Right.
Here the glass was removed, and I go running down. I'm hustling at the end of the day down the hallway. I grabbed the big, huge handle. Now they have them like 3-foot handles on those big glass doors.
Big levers. Yeah.
I grab the handle, push it in, and then I have a ladder in my hand. I go to like push backwards with my back. Push the door. Here the glass is removed. I go flying through the door on my butt. My tools flying across the room and the ladder landing on my chest.
Oh, boy.
And that's how I ended my day. And then I called you up and you said, I really want to do a show tonight. And I said, well, I'm going to try to get in my Disney mood if I can.
Oh, man.
So now you understand where I wasn't like Mr. All Happy at the time to show.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah, and the older we get falling on concrete, the worse it hurts. You know what I'm saying?
Falling on concrete hurts at any age, but particularly as you get older, you're right.
Absolutely. Yeah, it had a little carpet on it, but, you know, the thin carpet don't do much.
Well, and when you're not expecting it, too, the way you described that you fell, you totally took you by surprise. So all your weight, I'm sure, was into the fall.
Absolutely. The only positive thing was nobody is around to see it.
Yeah, at least you weren't embarrassed. That would have been icing on the cake, you know.
Exactly. If my buddy Robbie would have seen it, I wouldn't have lived it down for the next 6 months once I was okay.
Right.
So, let me stop crying.
Okay.
But I figured I'd give a funny little story out so everybody can laugh at me. And we're going to talk about, we figured what we're going to do is we're going to start exploring the parks, you know, like we're first timers a little bit. We're going to talk about each land, what some of our favorites are. Not a first timer, but if you're a first timer going down, we're going to break the Magic Kingdom in all the lands. We're going to eventually go to Epcot, the Animal Kingdom. And then break them down, talk about the restaurants, talk about the places to shop, and all the rides. And we'll talk about what our favorites are in each land and all the parks.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, first time I'm telling you, right, Ben?
No. We've been going over this for weeks now.
Yes, exactly. But now we figured this would be fun. We'll break it down in land so we don't do another Lou Mangiello episode.
Yeah, try to keep them somewhat short and concise, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, because I think food and wine was over by the time we got done our show, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one of our longer shows, but there a lot of material there, and we covered it, that's for sure.
And believe it or not, we got quite a bit of positive feedback.
Oh, I figured we would. I mean, even as long as they are, and we've been talking about it for years now, it seems like it's one year runs into the next. But people do enjoy food and wine and talking about all the different food options. So it's always a very popular show for us.
So what we'll do is we'll start off. What I'll do is I'll name the major attractions, okay, and we'll discuss that a little bit. Then we'll go to restaurants, and then we'll finish it up with shops. How's that sound?
Awesome.
So the major attractions, the attractions over at the Adventureland, which, Dennis, out of all the lands, what would you rate this as? Is it your favorite?
I'd put it in the third spot for me. I prefer Frontierland and Tomorrowland over Adventureland myself. Fantasyland somewhere in there, but I put this third on my ranking of the lands in the Magic Kingdom.
Well, we're both on board with that. That's the way I rate it, too. Mine's probably Frontierland, Tomorrowland, and then Adventureland, and then Fantasyland.
Yeah. That's pretty much where I'd have it. It's not that I don't like it. I just prefer the other lands a little bit more.
Nah, it's like you love all your children, right, but there's always one that's your favorite.
True.
You'll never admit
never
it.
Never admit it, though, right?
No, but you know it. Yep. So the major attractions here are Walt Disney World's Enchanted Tiki Room, the Jungle Cruise, Magic Carpets of Aladdin, Pirates of the Caribbean, the Swiss Family Treehouse, and then you got Tinkerbell's Magical Nook. So Dan, if you had to rate them, what would your favorites be?
Yeah, I mean, I did actually rank mine. I'll just go real quick. I'll just run through them, and you can do the same if you want. But one for me would be Pirates. Two would be Jungle Cruise. Three would be Tiki Room. Four would be the Treehouse. Five would be Magic Carpets of Aladdin. Six would be the I'm counting the Pirates League in there, I guess. It's an attraction. And then Tink's Nook, I guess, would be seven.
Okay, with me, mine would be, of course, Pirates.
Right.
Minus Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Two would be the Jungle Cruise.
I agree.
Three would actually be Swiss Family Treehouse for me.
All right.
But I think I got probably... See, I have a lot of memories with family in that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, that's how Disney usually works for us.
Sentimental.
A lot of memories. Yep. A lot of memories make a lot of these rides, you know, near and dear to our heart.
Yep.
Next would be the Tiki Room. Mm-hmm. Then it would be the Magic Carpets of Aladdin. Then Tinkerbell's Nook, and then Pirate of the Pirates League.
Okay, so you flip-flop Tiki and Swiss and Pirates League and Tink with
yeah.
me.
Yeah. And really, to be honest with you, it would probably be Aladdin, Tink, and Pirates League would all be last tied together.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They're all my least favorite of the children at Adventureland.
The also-rans, you know. And that, again, it's, you know, for different reasons. But, I mean, I don't know. Do you think this is a strong slate of attractions compared to some of the other? I mean, not that we're comparing to the other lands in the Magic Kingdom, but what do you think? Is this a strong bunch of attractions, do you think, or not?
It wouldn't be strong compared to a lot of the others, in my opinion, but I think they all fit in good in the amount of space, because Adventureland isn't that big.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, most of the Jungle Cruise is bigger than the entire whole land, I think, the ride itself.
Yeah, you're right, Doug, when you really think about it, or even, think about it as it appears on the park map, it is just like a sliver of a land out to the left there if you're walking, you know, down Main Street. You're going to bang a left by the Crystal Palace, and you're going to head, I guess, take a sharp left as opposed to a slow left. If you take a slow left, you'd be in Frontierland. But you're right. It is the footprint is not very large.
No, you go over that little bridge there, and The Aladdin, you go over the little bridge and the magic carpet's Aladdin, they're there on your right. If you keep walking, you're in front, you're at Pecos Bills in a matter of a couple of minutes, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, there's that, I call it the famous cut through, but you got that little tunnel where the bathrooms are right down on the right where the Aloha Isle used to be. You know, you can be in Frontierland in a lickety split second, either by walking through it, like you said, or taking a right or detour through that little pass through there.
But, I mean, then again, though, you have to say that, in my opinion, the Jungle Cruise and Pirates of the Caribbean are do-not-misses if you're a first-time Disney visitor. And they're the two that you have to see, in my opinion, out of all these.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely say so. Both Pirates and Jungle Cruise are, you know, tied to Walt, and, you know, we've all seen the footage of, you know, the Jungle Cruise out in California, and when Walt was actually in the drained riverbed, he's actually messing around with some of the, I think it was an animatronic hippo or something like that, or maybe an elephant, I forget which, but, you know, yeah, if you're a Disney, you know, fan at all, or you're into the history of the parks, yeah, those are two strong attractions. And same thing with Pirates. I mean, you know, there's that famous footage of Walt working with the little pirate and in the guys that are building it there, the what are they called? Imagineers. They're that pirate that has one foot on the boat and one foot on the land, and he's got all the hats, I think, in his hand. And you know, Walt's talking about that. So, yeah, absolutely. If you're going to Disney World, you absolutely, positively have to go on these two attractions.
I mean, the other ones, yeah, if you have time, do them. But, if you have time, do them. Jungle Cruise and Pirates are must-dos for me. Again, I've said it a million times on this show. Pirates is what made me fall in love with Disney World. That was the first ride that we went on It's a Small World, and then we went on that. When I went on It's a Small World, I thought it was cute. It was nice. The best thing about that was my wife, because she remembered it when she was a little girl. She went down the first time when she was 6.
Yeah.
And she couldn't believe, like, she had, like, tears in her eyes a little bit. She was, like, a little choked up that she couldn't believe it was, nothing has changed,
right,
how beautiful the parks was.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a cute ride. I couldn't believe all the different, you know, well, and we'll discuss this more in detail when we do, you know, I mean Fantasyland, but when we were there and we seen the dolls in the different countries and how they worked and all, I was really taken back. But then when I got on Pirates, it was like, holy moly, is this place awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the same was true of you. I mean, that was the first audio animatronic I had ever seen. And, you know, even though it was many, many years ago, and the technology has gotten better since, but still, that was pretty, for me anyways, it was like, wow, somebody built these? I mean, they're so lifelike, and, you know, yeah, of course you can tell they're not real, but I mean, I had never seen anything like that in my life, so I agree. Pirates totally blew me out of the water when I went on my first trip back in 97 as well.
Oh, I mean, it, like I said, it blew me away. I couldn't believe. I wanted to go on again right away.
Yeah.
We were there at like the least crowded time of the year. It wasn't that bad.
Right.
So, I mean, well, I'm lying. It wasn't that crowded there. What it was is it wasn't the least crowded time of the year because I'm so used to it when we usually go.
Right, right.
But for some reason, Pirates wasn't that crowded. And when I think back now, what I think it was is I think it was shut down for some reason. And it just reopened when we got there.
Okay.
They were having some kind of technical difficulty or something. Something happened. So we got off, and there was no line there. So we went on again.
Oh, awesome.
And then we were there during spring break in April. So you know how crowded
yep,
it is then.
Yep.
And then I couldn't believe later on I tried to get on like that again. I'm like, nah, there was something happening. You know, and I was a newbie then. Then years later I realized, dude, that had to be broken down. Something was wrong.
Right.
For you to be able to do Pirates like that at that time of year.
You lucked out for sure. But, you know, and I still do it to this day. I mean, you know, I'm sure you do it too. I mean, I still find things in that attraction that I've never seen before. Like, I try to, you know, look at different things. And I know over the years you've always recommended switching seats with your wife or whatever so you can get a different vantage point of the attraction. And, you know, even doing that or not, I mean, there's so much going on in that attraction. I mean, you know, if you just think about it, you know, you look for seagulls, you know, how many are there and where are they? And, you know, you'd be surprised how, you know, just the different things that are in the attraction, you know.
I love the little pigs.
Yeah, yeah, in the mud there with the drunk pirate.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also made a mistake then.
Oh, what did we do?
We said the lands, and we forgot one major land, and I'd be upset if we didn't mention it.
Well, which one?
I'd have to put Liberty Square in between. Liberty Square is probably right there with me with Tomorrowland and Frontierland, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, because of your love of the American adventure and all that, and
well,
history
the Hall
and
of presidents.
Presidents, right, exactly.
Yeah, the Hall of Presidents, I love the Liberty Boat and the Haunted Mansion.
Right.
Plus the Columbia Harbor house is there.
So yes, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I don't want the emails coming in and saying we forgot a land, but yeah, Liberty Square would definitely tie with those three,
yeah.
In my opinion.
I mean, I guess technically if you look at the park map, Main Street USA is considered a land too.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't purposely name all the lands, but thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. I don't want to get letters written in saying we forgot
that. All right, man. We can't have that.
Have you ever done the Magic Carpets with Aladdin?
No, I was going to disclose that. I think I did. Might have said that on a show previously. Never been on it. I've been on rides like it, and I don't really like them. It's just not my thing, so I really have no reason to go on it. I probably.
Oh, it is Dumbo with a carpet.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, I did it with my godson many, many moons ago when he was 8 years old. But that's the last time I've ever been on it. And the cool thing of it is, though, you do get some nice views of Adventureland.
Right.
So it isn't bad if it's like nobody there.
Right.
Is dead. Hop on with your wife and have some fun.
Yeah, I should probably do it if only just to, you know, get it off the living list and just do it, you know.
Exactly. The same thing with Dumbo. Everybody should do Dumbo once.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
you know
no, I totally agree. I've never been on that either. Never been on Dumbo.
No, well, you got to try it. Again, it's the same thing. You get to see some things that you normally wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, in that area. So that's why I recommend both of them.
Yep, I'll definitely put them on the list.
You know, and then, again, we talked about the Swiss Family Treehouse many a time.
Yep.
You don't do that every trip. I do it more than you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's probably once every 5 years on average that we do it. When the kids were little, they did enjoy, you know, going up there. And we did it much more in our early Disney years than we have now. I mean, it's probably been over 5 years since we've done it. But, you know, and I still say, and not that I hope that this happens, but I still think at some point it'll come out and something will go there. But I don't know. It's kind of a small area, and how much could you really do there?
Nah, I hear you, but and it says, and I like the little sign on. I read it every time. On this site, July 17th, 1805, Swiss Family Robinson composed of myself, my good wife, and three sons, Fritz, Ernest, and little Francis, were the sole survivors, by the grace of God, of an ill-fated ship Swallow. From the wreckage, we built our home in the tree for protection on the uncharted shore. And that's how they built their house, from their boat, the Swallow.
That's neat.
And I read that sign every single time I'm there, like it's going to change or something.
Right, right. Yeah, maybe they'll change it up on you just to mess with you at some point.
Nah, it's cool. And interesting facts, the 60-foot-tall treehouse has been a favorite Adventureland attraction since the Magic Kingdom opened in 1971. So it's one of the original attractions in the park. And another one, the Disney movie Swiss Family Robinson was released in 1960 and starred John Mills, Dorothy McGuire, James MacArthur, and Tommy Kerr. The tree has a 15-foot trunk and 9 main limbs. So it's 15 feet around with 9 limbs off it. The entire attraction, how much do you think the entire attraction weighs?
Oh boy, I don't know. 10 tons. I don't have no idea.
200 tons.
Okay, it was close.
Times 20, you would have got
it. Yeah.
So, but I don't know. There were some neat little facts that I had written down.
Yeah, it is kind of a, an attraction that, is below the radar. I mean, you really don't, yeah, I think you're right. People just stumble upon it. It's certainly not something that you're gonna, plan your trip around or your day even around, If there's any line at all, you'll probably just blow by it and not even consider it.
Yeah, and I understand, not doing it in the summertime when it's hot and really bad. Like I told you last September when I got I felt like I was having a heart attack.
Right.
So, I mean, I get it when it's that hot and blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't a heart attack from the tree. It was from the Dole Whip that I had,
Right.
But I call it the natural stress test. But doing it in January, February, March, those times of year, go on, enjoy yourself. I mean, it's a good workout too.
Yeah, you're pretty high, and it is kind of cool the way they do it. People that are not too good with heights, but the way they have it built and made, that you don't really have that sensation that you're that high, even though you are. I mean, there's not a lot of real, like scary vantage points, I guess. The way they enclose it and, kind of lead you around it, I don't know. I feel safe up there. I don't know about you.
No, absolutely. You ain't going anywhere.
Right.
No, you're not going anywhere. No, and then the Jungle Cruise, a little thing to know, if you are down for it, they do have the assistant listening devices for that ride too, the Jungle Cruise, so you get the skipper's banter. You
Oh,
want to check that
yeah,
out.
that's cool.
Well, if you're blind, not you know what I'm saying. It,
Yep.
it will tell you what's going on, which is pretty cool. So I recommend that. They do have that stuff for a lot of the rides.
Yeah, and I think it's one time, and maybe they even do it with this. You could get different languages too on those. If you didn't speak English, you could, get Spanish or whatever your native language was, so that you could understand the spiel. They had recorded it in a bunch of different languages. I don't know if that's still true, but I know they used to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, they're recommended for guests with mild or moderate hearing loss. I mean, and I mean, there's a lot of the rides that have it. I mean, I'm bouncing back and forth, but yes, if you're deaf, they're assisted reading devices, and they have it for Magic Kingdom at the Country Bear Jamboree, the Jungle Cruise, PhilharMagic, Stitch's Great Escape, Sunny Eclipse, the Enchanted Tiki Room, the Hall of President, and Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress. And then in all the other parks. So if you are deaf or hard of hearing, ask them, and they do have these devices for you.
Yeah, they do a good job of trying to, help out everyone that comes to Disney World, regardless of their, health status or whatever. If they can make an accommodation, they typically do.
And other interesting facts here, the Jungle Cruise was open in 1971.
First day attraction as well.
The Jungle Cruise boats are 27 feet long and reach a top speed of 3.2 feet per second. And get a load of this. What do you think moves them?
Cable.
No, it uses a four-cylinder Chevrolet engine.
Wow, never would have guessed that.
No, that's what it says here, so I could be wrong. And it's, I don't know. I enjoy this ride. If you get a great skipper, it even makes it better. That's the whole key to the ride.
Yeah, I mean, over the years, I mean, I've been on this dozens of times, and I've had some real duds, and I've had some, very exhilarating rides. And you're right, Doug. It all hinges upon your skipper and how into it he or she is. I know when they train the cast members, I've talked to many of them over the years, that Disney is real strict and they want them to keep to the script exactly without deviation. But I'm sure you've experienced skippers over the years that are either real experienced, or maybe Disney allows them to do it because they're so good, but they will definitely get off the main script and throw in some of their own stuff. And if they're good at it, and they can tell a joke and they have the timing, it can really make for a very, very enjoyable ride.
Now, I never. I try not to miss that. Brenda likes the ride, but my wife is, how we've talked before. She's laid back. She don't like. She's not into all like Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor and all that
Right.
stuff. So she feels uncomfortable sometimes that the boat's too rowdy.
Yep.
Like there's too much interaction. That's not her whole thing.
Right.
You know what I
She'd
mean?
just rather, have it be somewhat quiet and take it all in and enjoy it.
So, and then on pirates, there's some interesting facts. The waterfall may be 52 feet long, but the actual drop is only 14 feet. The flat bottom boats are propelled by jets of water. Lift pumps in the staging area creates a current that carries the boats through the channel. That's pretty cool. There are four cannons on the roof of the attraction and 15 inside. They were all manufactured by Walt Disney Imagineers. So, some fun facts for you guys. And what's up next? Then Tinkerbell's Magical Nook. Have you ever been in there?
Yeah, no, I don't even know where it is, to be honest with you.
No, I've never been in there myself.
I mean, I know.
I've seen the videos of it and stuff, but I've never hung out, went in there.
Now I'm assuming this is for a
It's just a meet
meet and greet.
and
Yeah,
greet.
that's.
You go in there and meet Tink.
Yeah.
But the only reason I rate it as high because I know a lot of the girls and women really like that, like to go meet Tink.
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty popular from just general Disney interest, and there was many years there where I don't think you could see her anywhere, and I know they started this character initiative a few years ago where they started to bring particularly the princesses and the characters in the Magic Kingdom to be able to be available for meet and greets, and Tink was one that I remember because didn't they put like a Ariel's Grotto, or I don't know if it's called that, but I think before the new Little Mermaid attraction opened in New Fantasyland, there was a meet and greet for Ariel similar to the Tink's Nook, but I think they might have taken it away since that attraction opened. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know about that either, buddy.
Yeah, we'll have to. Somebody will correct us if I'm wrong. Maybe they still have both, but I thought it was one or the other.
Nah, you're probably right, but I never heard
Yeah.
that. And then some interesting facts for Aladdin. The centerpiece is a giant genie bottle, which we know adorned with the character from Aladdin, Disney's 1992 animated film. First permanent attraction with Aladdin theming at Walt Disney World Resort. Music from the animated classic is featured throughout, and the magic carpets of Aladdin. When do you think this ride opened?
82.
Doesn't it seems like it's been there since then. It didn't open until 2001.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
It seems a lot older than that, doesn't it?
yeah, it does. It seems like it's been there. I mean, when that feature that the camel spitting at you was always, and so I'd like to see guests get blasted by that when they're not expecting it.
Yeah, I hear you. Dan, did you ever, another little thing I wanted to ask you, did you ever play with the boats over there by the Jungle Cruise? The remote control ones?
No, I've watched guests do it, but I've never personally done it.
Again, the only time I ever did that was with my godson. I don't even know really if they're still there.
I remember seeing them, and I couldn't tell you if I saw them like 2 trips ago or 10 years ago or last trip. I don't know, but I know I've seen those remote control boats before.
Everybody used to try to wreck each
Yeah,
other,
yeah.
ram each other. That's what it turned into, bumper cars on
Yep,
the water.
yep.
So that's it for the ride. You want to head over to places to eat?
Yeah. There's a few eateries here, I guess we'll call them, and one brand new or fairly brand new, at one of the newer restaurants on Disney property, and I'm going to call it the Skipper Canteen. Why don't you give it the whole big name that you?
The Jungle Navigation Company, LTD
There
Skipper's
you go.
Canteen.
Yeah, I mean, this opened up, what I say, about 6 months ago, it seems like to me, anyways. And I have never eaten here. This is one that I hope to get to soon. And, with the restaurant opening up over at, what is it, Tiffin's over there at the Animal Kingdom and
Animal Kingdom.
all the stuff we talked about down at Disney Springs, I don't know when I'm going to get to this restaurant, but I hope to get to it soon. But yeah, Skipper Canteen. You got the Sunshine Tree Terrace where you get your citrus swirls over there. You also have, of course, Aloha Isle where you can get your Dole Whips and assorted ice cream stuff like that. And then you got the often maligned Tortuga Tavern that I've never seen it open, but the legend says that it does open on occasion, but I've never been lucky enough to see it all open. So, yeah, them are the four eateries that you can find in and around Adventureland.
Well, Aloha, of course, you get your Dole Whip, your Dole Whip cup, and you get your Dole Whip float, and you get your fresh cut pineapple spears. You can get souvenir tiki mug with pineapple juice in it for $8.69.
Wow.
And then they sell smart water, bottled water, and pineapple juice. I always want to know how smart water, how smart it is. Like, I don't get it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know I've talked about this before. The fact that somebody figured out that they could bottle water that is relatively free if get it or, prepare it and sell it to people and they would actually buy it. You know, the person that raised that at some board meeting must have got probably laughed at and ridiculed out of the room, and I'm sure now he's a multimillionaire. But you know, who would have thought bottled water would be a hit, right?
No, I hear you, dude. And I buy about 6-7 cases a week at this house because we have well water, and that's all my dogs even drink bottled water.
Doug, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 7 cases in my office here. We store it here warm, and then I, keep the fridge stocked as we need it. And I'm guilty of that too. But it seems kind of crazy when you think about it, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. The other place that we didn't mention that they have over here is the Egg Roll Wagon. Have you ever been there?
I think I've seen it, but I've never been there. I know that for a fact.
No, me neither, but this sounds interesting to me. They got a vegetable egg roll for $2.75. This is what sounds interesting. The cheeseburger spring roll. Mm. You get 2 for $4.50.
Wow. Very reasonable.
I want to try that out. Assorted chips, $3.25. Chocolate chip cookies, $2.50. And then they got your beverages. They got Powerade, soft drinks, smart water again, bottle water, and a bottle strap for $3.75. Which, I mean, a cheeseburger spring roll sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, just to try it.
No, it's not good for you.
No, but it's probably delicious.
Oh, absolutely. Then at the Sunshine Tree Terrace, you got your citrus swirl, which somebody mentioned. I loved it on the Mickey Dudes, which I'm supposed to record with them tomorrow night if I get home. But the one guy was saying how much he liked the citrus swirl, and then they all started screaming at him, how could you like the citrus swirl when the Dole Whip's around the corner? Well, there's room for both of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they make vanilla and chocolate, right? I mean, some people just don't like pineapple. It's not that they're against Dole Whips, but they prefer the orange variety.
Well, I'd have to say, and I don't want to fight with whoever's over there, but I actually like the citrus swirl better than the Dole Whip myself. I like both of them, but what it is I used to eat those orange cream pops with my grandfather.
Oh, yeah, the creamsicles?
Yes, but they were his favorite, and I loved eating them, and every time I eat one of these, I think of my grandfather, who's no longer with me.
Yeah.
So I just love the taste of it. I've been eating them since I've been a little bit of little kid. I don't like orange juice, so I used to tell my mom, this is how I get my vitamin C in me. And she used to say, okay, I'm going to give you a vitamin C.
Right.
But I prefer the citrus swirl over the Dole Whip.
Well, I'm going to tell, I know I've said this on the show, and I know I have. I mean, to be honest, people are going to boo and hiss at me. I think Dole Whips are extremely, extremely overrated. I mean, they're okay. I mean, I'll have one now and again, but I really don't see the big craze over them. It's not my favorite thing. I mean, like I said, I'll get one. They're good, but I mean, no way. It wouldn't make my top 10 snacks in Disney World if I was putting a list together.
Mine either, Dan.
We're going to get blasted this week.
I'll tell you this. If it wasn't at Disney World, I would never eat one again.
Really,
I don't go in my local ice cream store and looking for a pineapple ice cream. I just don't do it.
And I think, and you're exactly, you hit the nail on the head. I think the fact that it's world famous for being at Disney World, that's why we at least enjoy one once in a while or try them once in a while because we of our love of Disney. It isn't the love of the actual product in this case.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not bad by
no,
all means.
No.
We like it, but my snack dollars, I'd rather go over to the the Main Street Bakery and get something.
Oh, so. Yeah. Like I said, I said 10, but I could easily pick probably 30 things on property that I'd get over a Dole Whip. And, you know, there's people that really get, you know, wigged out over this, and it is their favorite thing, and that's fine. I mean, they put one over at the Polynesian, and it's so popular that, you know, you can get them at the Poly now. And I know people try to get the, I guess you can buy it, from what I understand. I listened to a show once about it. I guess you can, you can go to a website and you can get the Dole Whip mix in powder form, and you can make it yourself at home. And I know some people that are hardcore Dole Whip fans have done that and enjoy a Dole Whip at home with their, you know, the ice cream makers. You can get the, you know, you make your own ice cream and stuff. I know people do that, you know, regularly to enjoy that, because they are not readily available, although I know there's a few places around the United States, I forget where they are, where you can get a Dole Whip, or at least an ice cream that's similar to a Dole Whip. It's not call it exactly that. And I don't know if that's just for, you know, patent reasons, or, you know, they just can't use the name, or it's the actual exact same product. But I'm going to say like Mall of America or something like that. I think there's a Dole Whip or pineapple ice cream available where you can get it somewhere other than Disney World. But that's what makes it special in my mind.
Nah, I mean, again, we do like it. I don't hate it. It's just, it's not, it's, I don't get it every single time on there. And I only get it because it's one of, the reason I got it, I tried it a few times, is more out of peer pressure than anything else.
Right.
I feel like I should eat one every once in a while to stay in the club.
Right, right. You think your card's going to expire.
I'll lose my Disney license. Exactly. That's the reason why I eat them.
They're going to know.
So somebody comes up to me. Okay, Doug, when did you have your last Dole Whip? I just had one 2 weeks ago. I just don't want to get kicked out of the podcast club and the Disney club. You know what
I'm
saying?
The line is, you know, at least it used to be when it was in its old location, you know, the double barrel line there would go. And on a hot Florida day, you'd see the people, it's melting all over the place, and they're trying to eat it fast. And there's kind of a bottleneck there where this Dole Whip stand was. And then I think there's like a rock wall across the way from it, and people would be all over there trying to gobble them down too quick, like happened to you. And then you end up with other issues.
I went right to my chest, buddy. But the other things you can get here at Sunshine Trees Terrace is, you know, you can get your beverages, your coffee. They have all natural lemonade, soft drinks, which lemonade isn't available everywhere. So if you want a lemonade, go over here. Yeah. They have bottled water, the same thing. They got iced coffee here, French vanilla or mocha, which I don't know. I think it's Joffrey's, I think.
Probably.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. But hot tea or cocoa in the wintertime. And then they got non-alcoholic beverages. They got a raspberry lemonade slushy. They get with a silver tiki mug, you can get that in. Or they have a pina colada slushy with the tiki mug you can get to if you want to. And that's $9.99.
And that's interesting. You named off all that stuff. And I've never looked past the Dole Whips there. I just, in my mind, that's where you get a Dole Whip. And I've never delved into the menu like you just did. I had no idea you could get all that other stuff there.
Well, that's at the Sunshine
Terrace.
Oh,
okay. All right.
The Aloha Ohio, you know, you can get your waters and your pineapple juice
pretty
here.
Much
that's
it,
about
then.
It.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah, Sunshine Tree Terrace has all the slushy lemonades and all that, and that's where they have the better of the two, which I don't want to get yelled at, is the citrus.
Yeah. Farm. Well, and it's, that place is a lot bigger, too, right? Isn't there like four or five different, like, walk-up places?
Yeah, it is bigger than
Aloha.
Absolutely, it is big. Yeah, absolutely. And then I'll go over the menu a little bit, which people have talked about before, at the Jungle Navigation Company.
Ooh, okay.
LTD Skipper's Canteen. Yep. They got a bread service here, then. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It looks pretty good. I mean, we haven't eaten here yet either, but you can never go wrong with a bread service. The only thing I don't like about a bread service is I think you should get bread for free.
Yeah, it does seem kind of weird that you get it'd be like if they, you know, they charge you extra for the bread at Le Cellier or something, right?
Exactly. Every nice restaurant I go to, I usually get free bread, man.
Right.
So, that, like, I like the non-bread over at the Sinai and all, But you still feel funny paying for
bread.
Man.
I think, well, I don't know. You got to look at that. You're, the dipping sauces is where you, what you're paying for. I mean, even though it's called the bread service, so I get what you're saying. But I think that the sauces is what drives the price there.
Yeah, see, I'd rather, I wish they just add a couple bucks to every dollar or two and everything on the menu and just give the bread for free.
Yeah, well,
I'd be happier with that.
Free is good.
Yes, exactly. But then they have a sustainable fish collar, broiled collar served their green papaya salad and yuzu soy sauce for $11. These are the appetizers. It's the Falls Family Fafal, a secret recipe of chickpeas, garlic, onions, lemon juice, and herbs with white beans, dip, and a tomato cucumber salad.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah. I'm looking at the picture here of the next one. House-made arapas, a slow-cooked beef, black beans, tomato, and queso fresco, which is $9 and $9.50. I hate when they put the 9.5. It confuses the man after we worked all day. Then they have a ginger crock of hot salt, hot and sour soup. I don't know. It better be cold for me to get a soup anywhere. It's flavored with ginger, not crocodile.
Yeah.
Of course. Garlic, soy sauce, and a rice wine vinegar. Finished with a fresh egg, tofu, and a wood ear mushroom. I mean, did I have to make it everything crazy here?
Sounds like it. Everything's going to be a little tongue-in-cheek.
A baladai salad, a classic Egyptian salad mixed of hearts of romaine, green peppers, cherry tomatoes, cucumbers, parsley, and ambasha bread tossed with a garlic coriander vinaigrette. And then they have a sea shumat, a blend of pork, shrimp, mung beans. Have you ever had mung beans
never
before,
heard
Dennis?
Of it before you just said it.
I have mung beans, but I never had mung beans. And a spice wrapped in guzo or gaiza skin, then steamed. $10. I got to see the picture here. Dude, these are some freaky looking things. They look like starfish wontons is what they look like.
Okay, well, that puts a visual in my mind.
Yeah, like you ever get not the wontons, the wontons, but the do you ever get the steamed dumplings?
Yeah,
from the Chinese restaurant.
I know what you mean.
These look like open faced star Chinese dumplings.
Okay.
Is what
All
I'm
right.
what they look like. The entrees are a rice noodle bowl with faux broth served with your choice of chicken for $22, duck breast for $23, or tofu for $20. Served with jalapenos and a mix of fresh herbs for $20 or $23. They have, something normal here. Grilled lamb chops. Which they look pretty good even though I'm not eating lamb chops. Seasoned with North African Berber spice blend, served with a green lentil stew for $25. A lot of steak salad, a marinated flank steak tossed with hearts of romaine, carrots, red peppers, cucumbers, red onions, cherry tomatoes, and Asian dressing. It's only $18. That's all it should be for a skirt steak. That's all I'm saying.
You know, that's not a very high-end cut.
No. Char soy pork, marinated grilled pork tenderloin medallion served with Chinese broccoli and choice of 5 grain or white rice, $23. Here's what I'd probably get. My wife would be mad at me because we talked about this before.
Yeah.
Which looks pretty darn good. I looked at the picture. It's a skip mac and cheese, a typical Egyptian dish consisting of spiced ground beef, pasta, a bichma sauce served with broccoli. So it looks pretty good. It's our version of a mac and cheese. A curry vegetable crew stew. What is the crew from the skipper boat in here?
I don't know.
Served with roast acorn squash, lentil, sauteed collard greens for $17. Then I don't know. Do you like head-on shrimp? Then we've talked about these before.
No, I prefer them to be all cleaned and deveined and ready to eat.
Yeah, I don't want the head-on.
Yeah,
but they got sustainable local farm-raised shrimp tossed in chili garlic sauce and served with Chinese broccoli and choice of 5 grain rice or white rice for $25. I mean, I like the shrimp. I would like to try it because the seasoning sounds good, but nah. Then they got another sustainable fish, and it tastes like chicken because it is. Marinated grilled chicken breast served with stir-fried vegetables, shiitake fried rice, and a hoisin sauce. And then Dr. Fall's signature grilled steak, strip loin, asado marinade, and safro served with yucca plants, avocado, and house-made chimichurri for $36. I don't know. I mean, I want to eat here, but the menu don't sound like it's jumping out at me to make me go there, does it?
No, I mean, Tiffin's much more unique, and I think things that attracted me to the menu and many, many of those restaurants down at Disney Springs. Did John eat here? I think he did. I don't recall exactly what he said, but I don't remember him being blown away by it. Do you remember what his thoughts were on this?
No, I'd be lying if I said anything, so I'm not going to get into it.
I would remember if he said, oh, that was great, you guys got to go, and I know he didn't do that, so I'm guessing it was just okay, and we'll have to ask him next week when he's on what his recollection was of the meal he had there.
We'll have to punch into him and throw a couple beers at him and let him talk really true about what he thought about it.
Oh, he'll be in Disney next week, right? Is that? Yes. Okay.
He's going to be at the Poly. He's slumming.
Oh, boy.
But I'll tell you what, the desserts sound the best here.
All right.
A coconut bar with pineapple basil compote with vanilla cream. It's a vanilla saffron cake with coconut and lime white chocolate ganache. It really looks good. The picture, it looks like a stick of butter.
Pretty much
it really
is.
Does. Yeah, it looks like a stick of butter with little pineapple cubes around it. What it looked like.
It actually sounds very good.
And then Bertha's Bon Bon Loon Cake with mango lime sorbet. A vanilla saffron cake soaked with lemon and grass ginger syrup. Then they have a Congaloosh here, and that really looks good. An African-inspired chocolate cake with caramelized bananas served with a cashew caramel ice cream topped with coffee dust. Now, that's $8. That sounds really good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You know, I'm in. And then a sugar-crusted congee pudding, caramelized custard with malai, almonds, apricot, dates, and honey almond truffles. Or Thule, I'm sorry. I'm thinking truffles, but it's a Thule.
Okay.
Then you got your soft drinks, exotic cocoa selections, hot teas, coffee, and specialty drinks. You got a punchline. It's called Punchline Punch. Tropical fruit juice, mango puree for $4.50, or served in a Skipper's Canteen souvenir mug for $13.50.
What a bark.
And then they have the Swizer Slush. Frozen apple juice with passion fruit, bursting green apple, boba balls, or baba balls for $5.50, served with the same Skipper's mug for $14.50. So, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I think one of the reasons why I don't do as many sit-down meals as I do counter service also in the Magic Kingdom, what do you think the reason is?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I enjoy, and I'm not a drinker. But I do enjoy a cocktail or a beer with dinner, don't you?
Yeah.
If you're going out to a
especially
nice dinner.
Especially when I'm on vacation.
Exactly. I mean, even like I'm home, we don't go out to dinner a lot. Maybe once every couple months, you know, life gets in the way. But when I go out to a nice meal, especially if I'm eating seafood or a nice steak, don't you like to have a nice beer or a drink with it?
Yeah, it enhances the meal, and you know, after a long week of work, you know, to relax on the weekend or something like that, go out to dinner and get a drink, that goes perfect hand in hand.
I mean, there's sometimes I go out, I still order the Coke,
yep,
but it's still nice to have the option. I think like it does, the meal doesn't seem complete,
right,
to me. And I know I don't have kids or whatever, I'm going with my wife. But, like, I like Tony's, but when I'm eating Italian food, there's nothing better than a nice cold beer with
right,
that.
Right.
It always seems like something's missing.
Yeah. Or a lot of people and, you know, a lot of cultures, they, you know, have wine with their meals, and I'm sure that's an issue, you know, particularly, like you just mentioned, an Italian restaurant or a French restaurant. I mean, you know, the wine is almost like water in this country as far as, you know, with you know, they raise their kids up like that. It's just the culture.
Yeah, so that's one of the reasons why if I'm going to just, I'd rather just go to Pecos, I used to with the burger, or go over to Columbia, yeah. Just grab a soda and a sit down, because it isn't like it's a main meal eating there. I'd rather go over to Epcot or Animal Kingdom now with Tiffin's and Yak and Yeti, or Disney Springs especially. And I want to make an evening. I want to make an event out of all my sit-down meals.
Yeah.
I do. And it, without the alcohol, and again, we don't drink a lot, but without the nice drink, it doesn't seem like a complete meal to me.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked over the years doing the show that, you know, the Magic Kingdom has been lacking in restaurants. And, you know, the last couple of years, they've kind of gone a long way towards making that right with Be Our Guest and now the Skipper Canteen. But, you know, before then, it was pretty slim pickings for, you know, sit-down restaurants in general. And, you know, it's just something what we've done and what we recommend all the time on the show is, you know, if we're doing a Magic Kingdom day, 9 times out of 10, we're going to jump on the monorail and head to the Contemporary or over to the Poly and, you know, eat at Kona or you know, one of those restaurants over there. Because, and the reason we did that is, you know, not so much for the beer or the wine, although we would get a drink with
dinner. It just seems a complete meal.
Or, you know, even if we didn't get it during dinner, or sometimes, you know, we'd like to get there an hour early and maybe, you know, instead of being rushed and run in and be seated and, you know,
sit at the bar and
have
just
a drink and maybe munch on some, you know, bar snacks or some chips or something like that and maybe just, you know, ease into the meal and do it that way.
See, I like doing that too and strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
There's been many a times that I've met some really wonderful people when, like, when remember the Animal Kingdom only had the rainforest.
Right.
And I would go in there, and me and Brenda would go up to the bar and hang out, and you get to meet some nice people because you know, socialize a little bit. And that's another good thing about alcohol. Like, you know, you have a drink or two and you get to meet some new people,
yeah.
And it's just part of the vacation. And Be Our Guest has alcohol, but it's like, I'm not thrilled with that restaurant.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, yeah. But I'm not thrilled with it.
No, I totally agree. And to get back to the, you know, striking up a conversation, I know you're a people person and you could probably get a rock talking back to you if you're knowing how you are. But I mean, it's so easy at Disney because everyone there has, you know, that common thing. I mean, you know, things you probably wouldn't do at home, you can do there easily. And, you know, you might start not playing with somebody's kids, but, you know, I see this all the time. Like, I used to trade pins and
you interact.
Yes, where you, if you did that at home, you'd get arrested or punched in the mouth or something. Where at Disney, it's kind of acceptable, if that makes any sense.
I get what you're saying. Like, everybody's more interactive with each other because everybody's having the same good time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a ball game when you high-five
right.
the kid sitting
right.
next to you.
If you throw them outside,
you know,
like
if somebody just hit,
you're
yeah.
giving them dirty looks for looking your way.
Yeah. But you're at the game, you're all in one
right.
section, somebody hits a home run, right. everybody's family at that
yeah.
moment.
That's true. That's a good analogy.
You know, so, but no, not to trash Be Our Guest, but if I'm going to spend the money at Be Our Guest, I'd rather leave the park, like you say, go over to the Wave,
yep.
which has fantastic moves. Go over to the Grand Floridian and have a Citra Coast
yep.
or what you call it, Narcosis,
yep.
and one of them, or even I'd rather go to the I can't think of the name of it right now, so everybody yell at me, but the there's a little counter service bar over there, like at the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Yes.
I'd rather go over there
yeah.
and eat than at the Beer Guest.
Even the Contempo Cafe is, you know,
exactly.
There's some good things to be had there. I mean, that's, you know, that's what we use as our Magic Kingdom dining is the three monorail resorts. I mean, that's what we've done over the years, except for a couple times at the Plaza. And, you know, we previous to this
yeah.
last trip, we would do the buffet at the Crystal Palace. But now that I'm not doing that, I mean, you know, I really don't have any reason to eat in the Magic Kingdom. But that's just our choice, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and then the Poly for it's weird. Like, I don't even consider the Poly for lunch, but I do for dinner with Kona and all. But for some reason, the restaurants at the Poly are more suited for dinner than they are for
yeah,
lunch. What's your feeling on that?
I would agree with that, with the exception of Captain Cook's. I've popped in the Captain
yeah.
Cook's for, you know, at lunchtime. They used to have that adult grilled cheese, which was very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done that. But I agree with you. The
But it's just in my head. Yeah. It's just go to Polly for dinner, but go to the other ones for lunch.
Because you got...
Like, the Wave is, like, awesome for lunch. I'd highly recommend that.
And you got the sushi bar over there at, at Kona. I don't know if it's open for lunch or not. I don't think it is. But yeah, there's many, many options there.
Yeah, so. Do you want to lead the end of the show? You want to read off the couple shopping?
Yeah. A couple of shopping locations. And, again, I have been in all of these or had been in these. They've been doing some changing around at the... the shopping and retail opportunities in Adventureland, actually all over property, but particularly here. But, yeah, so you got Agrabah Clothing, Costume, and Aladdin Souvenirs store. You got the House of Treasure, which is Pirate Souvenirs. You got Island Supply, which is a sunglass hut now. And I have not seen this, but the information I have here says the sunglass hut, so...
Yeah, it
if
is.
Anybody can confirm that, and you're confirming it, so we'll go with that.
Yeah, it is.
I actually, I lost my good pair of sunglasses this summer, so I'm in the market for a new set. So I might be going to the Island Supply to pick up a pair. And then you got Pirates Bazaar, which is the Pirates of the Caribbean merchandise, that huge store that you get dumped out into when you get off the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction.
Yeah, well, I will be honest with all of our listeners. I don't think I've ever bought a darn thing in all of Adventureland. It's not my shopping area. You know, I do 90% of my shopping on Main Street, and then every once in a while I head over to Liberty Square, and I like to go in there by the Hall of Presidents and go in the shop there. Look around at all the patriotic stuff. But for the most part, everything I buy is on Main Street, USA.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, when my son was little, we might have bought him a pirate thing or something. But, and that's, and it makes sense.
And Jimmy, we did, again, when me and my wife went down our first trip, we bought him some stuff from the store when you leave Pirates.
Right. So then that's what I was just going to say. That's what the stores are designed for. They're really, although they do have adult stuff in them, it's really to, get the kid that's wide-eyed and just enjoyed the attraction and is all pirated up, wants to, make that impulse purchase and bugs mom and dad to buy him that plastic sword or the hat or the, whatever it might be. And it's perfect for that. And it works because you see people throwing down big money buying all that merchandise coming out of that attraction.
And you're right. And I want to go back for a second. And I want to apologize for Kona Cafe because I might be going here for lunch. I'll start thinking now of the Polly for lunch. I brought up the Kona Cafe menu real quick. They do have the sushi, like you said.
Okay.
And I'm going browsing through the menu, and I'll tell you what, it looks like there's some really good options on here for some really good prices. I mean, not like it ain't cheap.
Right.
Like going
to Mickey Disney.
But for Disney and lunch, it really looks good. Like they got entrees, a Polynesian plate lunch. Pan-fried chicken with cocoa mango sauce served with sticky rice and pasta salad for $15. I'd rather eat here than anywhere in the park.
Oh, yeah.
They got fish tacos, barbecue pork taco. That sounds slamming.
Yep.
Pan-Asian noodles. I'll tell you what, the Kona turkey sandwich looked really good. Turkey breast roasted daily, served on a house-made bread with caramelized onions, purple haze hoisin mayonnaise, arugula tomato bacon served with Asian pear slaw for $12.49. Dude, that sounds awesome. And I got the picture up. It looks good. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I mean, all them items you just read off were all under $15. I mean, for lunch, even if you've got two full entrees and you got a beer or whatever, I mean, you can get out of there for reasonably, sane prices for lunch at Disney. Absolutely.
Oh, Dan. I think I found it.
Uh-oh.
The Kona Surf and Turf Deluxe Burger.
Ooh.
Have you seen this?
No, never.
Our grilled Angus Chuck Burger topped with passion fruit onion jam, spicy fried shrimp, and sweet potato fries. Now, does that sound banging or what?
That is nice. I've never heard of that, but now, do they just offer that at lunch? They got it.
Now you're going to make it on the dinner menu? No, I think it's just lunch.
Because I've eaten dinner at Kona many a time, and I don't recall seeing it on the menu. So I'm going to say that's got to be just a lunch thing. But that is a unique burger that I have never heard of before you just read it.
Yeah, I'm in. And then if you do want your burger, guys, and you want to lead the Magic Kingdom, just head over here, you eat a grilled Angus Chuck bacon cheeseburger. And if you just want a cheeseburger like me, I'm sure they'll hold the bacon for you. But it's $14.99. I'm in. It ain't much more expensive, and I guarantee it's a lot bigger than the one you get at the park.
Oh, absolutely. And it's I'm sure it's good. And like you said, what would you say it takes to get from the Magic Kingdom on the monorail to the Polynesian? It can't take more than 10 minutes, maybe 15 tops if there's a backup or whatever, and you're going to ride in an air-conditioned, you know, state-of-the-art, you know, highway-in-the-sky monorail. How good is that? So, you know, you get out of the crowd.
To me, it's like going on an attraction.
Yeah, you get out of the crowds, so. Get 15-minute little rest, and, you know, boom, you're over there, eat, relax, and then, you know, you can go back in the park and, you know, continue with your day. That's a perfect, in my view, that's a perfect way to do it.
And to top it all off, our buddy Bob would like this. And so would John.
What do we got?
Steamed pork buns.
Ooh, yeah.
And you know Kona. I mean, the Ohana and all with the barbecue, the way they do their barbecue Cider braised pork.
Wow.
Spicy hoisin sauce. And a granny apple slaw with a roasted brown rice vinaigrette for $7.99.
Very reasonable.
Yeah, dude. And they have lump crab cakes with jalapeno lime cream for $12.49. Me and Brenda might have to head over here, get the steamed pork bun, lump crab cakes, and then split the surf and turf roll.
There you go.
The Kona surf and turf roll.
Yeah. And then you...
$40, nice lunch. Yep. Something, try three things we've never had before. Or split, get those two, and split the Kona turkey burger. I mean, the turkey. If we ate bad that week, we'll have the turkey sandwich, which looks incredible.
Yeah. There's great options there. And like we said earlier, if, you know, you are into Dole Whip, you can even get a Dole Whip for dessert if you wanted and not wait in that hot big line over at the Magic Kingdom. You're going to be in the, you know, where the location is. It's kind of under an awning, and there's some vegetation there at the Poly. So you're going to have a much better experience enjoying your Dole Whip there than you will with, 100 people trying to get in line all at the same time over at the Magic Kingdom.
Absolutely. I'll give you one more. Being we get nuts about this food.
Yep.
Junk. You know how we are here. Food and beer.
Yeah.
Food and beer at the Main Street Pub. I'm looking at the picture now. The Island Chicken Sandwich.
What's that about?
Grilled breast of chicken with bacon, Swiss, curry mango mayonnaise, and fried onions on a Kaiser roll served with Asian pear slaw or sweet potato fries for $15.49. Now, this is something you won't get anywhere else. It's there at Kona. You know what I mean? I'd rather try that. You know, it's cooked to order for you. It really looks good. So that's what I'm saying, guys. You're at the Magic Kingdom. Head over to one of the resorts there, even the Wilderness Lodge, and have yourself a lunch or dinner. That's my opinion. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, we've been doing that for years, and I highly recommend that. And you know, and not to say, I mean, although I would say, and not that I'm trying to play both sides of it here, but, you know, if it's your first ever trip to Disney World, you know, stay in the Magic Kingdom, you know, you
don't waste
right,
time.
You should experience Tony's, and you should experience the Crystal Palaces. You know, if your kids are into Winnie the Pooh, or your wife, or your family, or whatever, you know, do the buffet there at least once. So, you know, our recommendations here are more for the seasoned traveler than they are for the first timer. Although, you know, first time, it wouldn't.
Or if you're a couple, if you're a couple, young couple, or something like that, or any couple,
right,
just going down without kids, then yeah, if you want to have a nice dinner, I think you're. There's no way you can compare the restaurants in the Magic Kingdom to the ones at the resort.
Right. I totally agree.
It's like AAA compared to Major League Baseball.
Right. And it would be different if you had to go jump in your car and drive 10 miles to get
there. No, with the monorail, it's awesome.
Right.
or even over to the Wilderness Lodge. I think the boat ride is it's awesome. So it's a romantic night. I would highly recommend, if you're going to do dinner, with the prices you pay for the restaurants in the park, you're better off going to the resort, in my opinion.
Yep, totally agree with you on that one.
So this was a lot of fun. We did Adventureland now. We're going to do all the lands in the weeks to come. We got some really good interviews coming up, guys. We really do. I'm looking forward to them. And you got anything else you want to say, Dan?
No. Midweek, nothing happening. Just steady as she goes, and we'll talk to you all, I guess, in the weekend.
And, guys, please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Let you know you like us or you don't like us, but please go over and leave a review. Please follow all of us over at Twitter. We'll give John at Beer Solo. Dennis is at Oak Manor. I'm at Grumpy6767. You can find us all at WDW Main Street, or go over to Facebook and find us at WDW Main Street under Douglas Davis. And we will talk to you guys real soon. And please don't forget to check out our sponsors. Have a great rest of the week, guys. Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.